about this story that Schefter casually dropped in? The Saints, who stink, were interested in Corliss Waitman and were allegedly willing to give up a draft pick for him. Now, my opinion on that is the difference between Waitman and Johnston is so thin. I would have traded Waitman to New Orleans, and I would have gone with Johnston.
How much cheaper is Waitman this year than Johnston?
I think it's a $2 million difference.
I would have done the same thing. I would have made the trade. Like the you're gonna get a conditional seventh.
So you're going to get like
a
seventh.
You're not getting better than a seventh round pick. I'd still rather have a seventh round lottery ticket for a couple yards
when
difference
you have a
in
negligible
punting.
Difference between
yes.
the two punters. Yeah,
absolutely. That's more valuable.
All right, Mike Florio joins us right now. Mike, for 2 years we've been talking about wide receiver two with the Steelers. The latest horse on that merry-go-round is Jakobi Meyers. Is this the latest example of a guy who makes a public trade demand and ultimately gets paid by the team that has him?
This one's strange because we didn't know anything about it until recently. It was all quiet. He wasn't holding in, as far as anyone knows. It wasn't an issue, and now as the season approaches, he's making this request to be traded or paid. He's been very good for the Raiders. He was good for the Patriots. They made a mistake not bringing him back when he became a free agent. I don't think Bill Belichick properly valued him. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the Raiders choose to do here and how they view him and whether or not this is something they're going to take care of and if they would consider making a trade. But, you know, the thing with a receiver, it's not the easiest thing in the world to plug a receiver in. It's easier with a running back. It's easier to learn the offense. It's a simpler process. You're bringing a receiver in with new quarterback, new coaching staff, new other receivers. You've got to learn a lot. And I think for somebody, especially Aaron Rodgers, you don't want to just jump into the mix and try to figure it out on the fly. You want time to get properly acquainted. So I don't know that it's a good fit for Pittsburgh. I don't know that it's a good idea for anyone at this point to be making that move, but he's making his play to try to get paid.
Let's say it actually did get to the point where they were talking heavily about it in talking terms, Mike. Jakobi Meyers strikes me as a guy who's like a quintessential, true, high-end wide receiver too. He's not a one, but he is a very good number two. What would it take, you think, in draft capital to pry a guy like that away from the Raiders?
Well, you also have to be willing to give
him money. Pay him money, yeah.
For.
You got to pay him too. Yep. New contract, of course.
So you got to pay him and you got to be willing to give something up to get him when you just gave something up to get DK Metcalf. And look at what they had to give up. What was it, a second round pick for
yep.
DK? Right, it was a two.
And $31 right? million a year for five yeah. years, although it's really just 2 years, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is it a four? A four and a three? I'm a big believer in tying draft pick compensation to what the guy does his first year. Especially in a situation like this, the more he does, the more you give up. Teams don't like to tie up multiple picks, though, because that's what you do. If you've got a schedule, if he does this, it's a five. If he does this, it's a four. If he does this, it's a three. The three, the four, and the five are all tied up until you know what the guy does. So I would ideally want to give up a draft pick commensurate with what he comes in and does. I don't know that that's the right play. After investing the resources in DK Metcalf and having the ball on the tee, literally, for the season to come. It's just adding another moving part, and I don't know that that's good for the Steelers. But, yeah, I would think, given what the Steelers gave up for DK Metcalf, a four or a three would sound like it would make sense.
Mike, Aaron Rodgers changed his tune again regarding retirement on Mad Dog Radio Monday. He's gone from leaning towards this being the last year, cracking the door open to now just being full-blown. If I'm healthy and I play well, we'll see what happens. What are your thoughts on that, you know, attitude change from Aaron Rodgers on his future?
Well, look, one very important issue is whether and to what extent it's good for anyone to have what everyone believes is an Aaron Rodgers farewell tour. I don't know that that's good for the Steelers. I don't know that it's good for him. I don't know that he wants that. But he's going to be 42 in December. Father Time is undefeated. And I also think it would be a mistake to let a really good first season be too much of a factor in whether or not there'll be a second season. Look back at what Brett Favre did in Minnesota. After Green Bay, after the Jets, lands in Minnesota. Great first season. They get to the brink of the Super Bowl. The next year was a disaster by comparison. It's never going to be as good the second time around. And I think that's something that everybody needs to think about going into this. Let's not allow how this season finishes be a factor in whether or not we do it again. There's no guarantee it's going to work if you do it again. And with each passing year, it's going to get harder. It's going to get more and more difficult. We haven't seen many quarterbacks play past the age of 40 at a high level. Now he's 41, and by next year, I don't know. And he'll feel differently. Things feel different as you get older as an athlete. You can't do things you used to be able to do. And at some point, you know, his legs are already not what they used to be. And can he color within those lines? That's the biggest challenge for him, not trying to do the things he used to do and operating, because the arm's there. Operate within those boundaries that the passage of time is naturally going to create.
Mike, one of the reasons why I wouldn't dismiss the idea of out of hand completely is it would be part and parcel with, excuse me, the Steelers draft a quarterback in the first round and Rodgers, because everybody knows he's going to be 43. There's no misapprehension or no delusions on anyone's part that he's the long-term answer. It's just a placeholder position for him. And so I bring that up to say, when you talk to people around the league, do they still say that the best way to bring along a young quarterback that you draft is to have them sit for a while? Or has like league perspective shifted on that, where they say, no, if you believe in a guy and you drafted him in the first round, play him sooner rather than later. That's why you drafted him.
I think it's driven by all factors. And we've seen, I think, a willingness by coaches to embrace the realities of a new quarterback, change your offense to suit his skills and abilities. It used to be a stubbornness where the kid's got to learn the offense. Now it's, what's the kid do well? Let's do what he does well. Let's get the most out of him as quickly as we can. Some teams have the luxury of letting a guy sit for an entire year, but I think the presumption is you draft a quarterback with a first round pick, you get him out there sooner rather than later. And, you know, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, wouldn't he rather have that first-round pick devoted to a guy that's going to help him have a better result next year? That's part of the analysis, too. You don't want him thinking, what the hell, you drafted my replacement. Who am I, Kirk Cousins, all of a sudden? When are you going to bench me? You're going to bench me during the season. So I think all factors go into that. And also, ultimately, who do you think this kid's going to be? They have to be feeling a little gun-shy after getting Kenny Pickett. And, you know, it worked with Terry Bradshaw. It worked with Ben Roethlisberger, didn't work with Kenny Pickett. You just better feel good that the guy you're bringing in is going to be your next long-term answer. The Steelers are a very different team when they have a long-term answer at quarterback that they feel good about.
Mike, on the Kenny Pickett point, you were all over this months ago. You said, I think this is the odd man out in Cleveland. You were right. He goes to Vegas for a fifth-round pick. Kevin Stefanski was talking about how much they loved Kenny when they first got to camp, and he started out getting first-team reps. How did he go from one to out the door so fast there?
Well, look, I believe the moment that they signed Joe Flacco, the starting job was his to lose, because the fans love Joe Flacco. He was the comeback player of the year in 2023. They get to the playoffs. I believe they didn't bring Flacco back last year because they were still committed to the Deshaun Watson bit. Mm-hmm. And if Watson's out there throwing bounce passes week one, you're going to hear Flacco, Flacco, and you got to deal with that. Then all of a sudden they realize we really don't have anything. We got Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett felt like the placeholder. We got to have somebody. We don't have anybody. Who the hell do we have? We have Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Oh, we can trade him for Kenny Pickett. Do it. And then they went about building out the depth chart from there. So I think Flacco was always destined to be the starter. The hamstring injury didn't help Kenny Pickett. And I think the key was this. The key was Dylan Gabriel. I think they felt good enough about Gabriel being the backup to Flacco that they didn't need Pickett. And this idea that they're going to carry four guys on the roster, it sounds good in theory, but that's one less position you have available elsewhere. And where are you going to shorthand yourself to have four quarterbacks? So it didn't surprise me. I thought they did everything they could to make us believe they were going to carry four, and then boom, they got an opportunity to get back the fifth round pick they gave up to get him. let's just call it a wash and move on.
Mike, if they draft Gabriel and they like him enough to make him the backup here and Sanders is third string, Sanders comes still with a ton of media attention and people second-guessing you on the outside and you're not giving him a fair shake, this and that. What's really the point of drafting him if the guy you picked in the third round you really do like better? Like, Shedeur Sanders is not going to sit there, I think, and be particularly happy after this year to still be the backup if Dylan Gabriel gets the job after this.
I don't know how history is going to remember the career contributions of wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster when it's all said and done. His most enduring overall benefit may be the phrase, the Browns is the Browns. That's your explanation. This is what the Browns do.
Yeah.
The Browns make decisions like, oh, we're on the clock at 144. Who do we take? Man, we got a lot higher grade on Deion's son than 144. There's value there. There's value. There's value. Every time we turn the audio on the TV, Mel Kiper's head's about to explode about Shedeur Sanders. I guess we should take him. And we have value. We have an asset. Well, that's fine, but you also have a football team. And you undermine Dylan Gabriel one day after you make him a top 100 pick by bringing in Shedeur Sanders. And there's a lot of Tim Tebow similarity here where, you know, Tim Tebow got to the point where he couldn't even get the third string spot on the depth chart because if you sign Tebow, you're bringing Tebow mania to town and you're going to have people who are saying, oh, why isn't Tim playing? Oh, you don't like Christians. Oh, what's wrong with you? Tim Tebow should be the starter. All that stuff. You get the same idea with Shedeur Sanders because you got people who think Shedeur should be playing and they love Shedeur and that's great. He's got the great personality, etc. It makes it harder to have a football team and you outsmart yourself. When you get so caught up in analytics and value and flexibility and roster options and you make it harder for your football team to be as good as it can be.
Mike, do you believe, like many conspiracy theorists and loyal fans, that Taylor Swift will perform the halftime show at the Super Bowl this February?
Well, look, I'm no Taylor Swift expert, but I have seen the interpretations based upon the nuggets that were sprinkled throughout her appearance on the New Heights podcast with the numbers and the 13 and the 60 and this and that and all those different things that come together. It sure sounds like it. And who else would it be at this point? Doesn't it make all the sense in the
world?
Bob
Seger.
And the NFL has gotten the Super Bowl halftime show to the point where they say to the performer, we don't pay you. And at one point there was a report that they actually get a piece of the album sales, the record sales, whatever, the streams, the tour sales afterward. She's the one that's in the position of strength. And if the NFL is willing to cut her a check, if the NFL is willing to do for her what they don't do for the others, I think they can get her. And they should give her whatever she wants because what she's already done gratuitously for the NFL is worth anything and everything that they could pay her to be that.
Mike, I think it'll be the highest rated Super Bowl regardless of who's in it if she performs.
Good. Good. It's on NBC. Good.
And NBC will have the Eagles and Cowboys next week to kick off the football season.
And you know what? I made a bet. I was on Pardon My Take the other night. And I don't know if it's really a bet because I don't get anything if I'm right. But if the Saints make the playoffs, I have to grow a beard. And I'm telling you, my facial hair is all white. Pre-game show, Super Bowl, all white.
It'd be like beard. Harrison Ford in The Fugitive.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. I try not to be partisan, but I hope the Saints don't make the playoffs.
Well, lucky for you, Desmond Ritter will start the season as their quarterback. So
hey, now.
In good shape.
Hey, now.
All right, Mike, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
See you guys.
There you go,
no,
Mike Florio.
Spencer Rattler, what are you talking about? Not Desmond Ritter.
Oh, did I say Desmond Ritter?
You did.
Yeah. Spencer Rattler.
Come on, put some respect on Rattler's name. Not that much, though. He hasn't really earned it.